Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
The bit of hope that I can offer is that small businesses are the backbone of the American economy.
In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, my guest is Chris Houston, Executive Director of McLennan Community Investment Fund. This nonprofit organization is a part of the support available for existing and startup businesses in the Waco area. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. You can learn more about this program and sponsors and find links to the podcast version of this program at thewacoexperience.com. Visit our sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling, and I encourage you to call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. My wife and I had questions about health care insurance. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You listened to us, answered our questions, and helped my family find the right coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website, txhealthcareforyou.com. That's txhealthcare, the number 4 and the letter U.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. They offer a conference room you can reserve and use at no cost. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. The Cactus Rose Ranch. Young, old, or in between, learning how to work with a horse is confidence building. Cactus Rose Ranch offers individual lessons or monthly memberships. Contact them for riding lessons or ranch parties and their nonprofit program, Healing Heroes with Horses, online at thecactusroseranch.com. The Waco Independent Film Festival. This award-winning festival, full of incredible movies, amazing people, and parties, runs July 17 to 20 in downtown Waco. Get tickets and information online at wacoindie.com. That's wacoindie.com. Come to Waco, tell great stories. D. Scott here, and we are on location at Startup Waco upstairs in the office of Chris Houston, and we're going to learn about her as the executive director for the McLennan Community Investment Fund. But Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
As we get started, I want to get you to give us just an overview of this McLennan Community Investment Fund. So tell us, what is that?
We call it McCIF for short, and I may move back and forth between the two names. We are a United States Treasury Department certified community development financial institution loan fund. We specialize in micro lending to small businesses in low and moderate income communities that traditionally lack access to your usual banking systems. We do not limit our lending to only those census tracts that are deemed low and moderate income, but the majority of our lending must be focused there per the U.S. Treasury Department's CDFI fund requirements. We also provide free business development education, or as it's known, technical assistance to potential borrowers, to people who are seeking to grow their knowledge of how to run and grow their businesses, or even people who are looking to start a business. So the two arms of our services are the lending and the education services or technical assistance.
And so before we get too far, I don't want people to miss how to find out about this. So what's the website, contact information? How do people get in contact with you?
So you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.mccif.org. Our phone number is 254-292-2825. You can either contact us just to find out more about what we do, Or if you have a small business and you are seeking funding, there is a loan inquiry form that you can submit through our website. You can call us to make a loan inquiry, or you can submit it through the website.
So I want to talk about microloans, because I've had friends that were involved in mission work overseas, and they were involved in microloans. And in that case, it was to buy a taxi or to buy sewing equipment, to be able to contribute and make a job for themselves. So let's talk about microloans in terms of the McLennan Investment Fund.
So when I was in college, my undergrad degree is in finance. I did a paper on the microfinancing movement, especially as it relates to ways of spurring entrepreneurship in developed nations. It is pretty much the same concept. There are tiers of small business loans. Microloans would be anything from 1,000, and because we were founded in 2020, which was the best year ever for anybody to start anything, our loans were smaller than that. For small businesses, but the cap is $50,000. And then you go into small business loans, which probably go up to about several hundred thousand, and then commercial loans go up into the millions. But those are the tiers of small business loans. So we are a small organization. We're only 4.5 years old. We obtained our U.S. Treasury CDFI certification just in 2023. And so we are still growing. But our sweet spot is the microloan space. And as you said, it allows people to repair a delivery truck. It might be something as simple as we need the money for the mechanic bill. So it might be $500, might be $800, might be $1,000. Or it could be we need to move into a bigger space and the rent will increase. So we need working capital to pay that operating expense. We do quite a few loans to fund equipment. A commercial kitchen. We may have bought the oven. The only thing that I would say we don't do is provide those microloans without collateral. All of our loans are secured. We are able to take on what is considered a more risky borrower than what FDIC regulations will allow banks to do. To hedge against that risk, all of our loans are guaranteed. They are secured with collateral. It could be your own assets, business assets, or it could be the equipment that you are purchasing. The purpose of the loan runs the gamut from improvements upon, you know, office space to sometimes it was purchasing inventory. Sometimes it was floating with paying salaries because, again, we started in 2020 when everything was going so swell for everyone, and those were ideal circumstances, not. Working capital, all of the things. The only condition is that they have to meet our lending requirements and that the loan has to be collateralized in some way.
So I can see the collateral with some of these businesses where you have equipment. So you talked about like repairing a delivery van. If you were a resident here and you want to start a business, so you wanted to start and you needed some equipment, would that equipment that you're buying could be the collateral? Or would you look at if you have equity in a house or your own vehicles or something like that, what types of things would count as collateral?
Because we have flexibility in our lending criteria and lending terms, we can look at personal assets or business assets. Because we require those loans to be secured, there's only but so much assistance that we can offer to startups that are really in the baby stages and neither the business nor the owner has very many assets. But if you set that aside, anything of value that would cover the loan amount, land, your personal vehicle, your business vehicle, the commercial oven that you buy, the recording equipment or anything that you might need for your business, that equipment that you buy can be the collateral. We've had home equity. We've had one of the borrowers even put on their application that they owned heads of cattle. We didn't have to go that far because they had other business assets. But we really do ask them to give us a list of what they have of value because our goal is to do the loan. And while it is believed that CDFIs take on a more risky client borrower, our default rate is lower than the bank's default rate across the nation. You know, it's an average, but they are. And it's because of the one-on-one education that we provide and also the relationships that we establish. to hedge against that risk, we do look broadly at what kind of collateral can be put up for the loan.
So we're here at the Startup Waco building, and they provide a lot of education, classes, connections for folks. Let's talk about the education that, you guys provide.
And I just want to put a plug in, because this is my mission, is to create access to capital. Startup Waco also provides the Kiva loan program. Zero interest, zero fee loan. And it is especially for startups, although not always. But our business development education is changing in shape and form as we are growing. We provide one-on-one coaching. A lot of the clients who come in the door may be almost ready to meet our loan application criteria, but not quite. And we do some coaching to help them get their financial statements in order, their bank accounts in order, and so forth. That one-on-one coaching is probably and it's free. That is probably the thing that makes us stand out the most, because at banks, they don't have the ability to give you a detailed explanation as to why they're declining your loan. But we do. And if we decline a loan application, we offer to coach them so that they can get where they need to become eligible to meet our lending criteria. So that is a great deal of our business development education. It's one-on-one coaching that is tailored to the specific needs of whichever small business owner we are working with. We have changed the program because we needed to do a little bit of evaluation to get the impact that we sought. But we used to do a monthly educational series. It was a lunch and learn format, and topics such as marketing, online marketing, social media marketing, business law tips for small businesses, how to use QuickBooks, accounting, bookkeeping, how to write a business plan, and on and on. We are rolling out something similar in content, but we believe to be more accessible, and it's coming soon. It is in the works. We found that a lot of our business owners are working when we're working, and they cannot access these workshops. So we are rolling out an online platform that has a series of about 15 videos that cover a lot of those topics, and it will be linked directly to our lending. So it's how to get the business loan ready, or how to ensure that the business is strong enough, because a strong business that is your client is going to be able to service the loan debt, right? Because they're growing. That is to be determined, but it's to launch very soon. It's in the works. We are partnering with other organizations in our entrepreneurship support organization system, kind of the small business ecosystem. The Central Texas Hispanic Chamber under Dietrin Thurkill has envisioned this small business resource fair for the city. We have done two of them, and one of them is in the works. We partner with them and the McLennan Small Business Development Center, and it's many workshops, and it's also about 20 vendors, banks, accountants, bookkeepers, marketing professionals, and on in one place, so that small business owners can connect with them. Startup Waco is always there, providing information on the resources that are available to small business owners. And that's one of our big, it's completely free. We find sponsorship for it. But it's one of the big things that we are doing to provide technical assistance and business education for entrepreneurs here. People have come from Temple and Killeen because these resources are not widely available in Central Texas.
There's a good handful of organizations here. You mentioned the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, and Thomas Ellis over there is leading that up. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
We have the Startup Waco here.
Yes.
And Ahab and Jermaine and the whole crew that's there.
Yes.
Tons of stuff. Plenty of opportunities.
Yeah.
You're here in the building with them.
Yes.
But you're one piece of that opportunity to start up. So somebody that's looking for funding, maybe they've been to a Startup Waco event. Maybe they're working with SBDC and now they're ready for that. Or maybe a little more education to get ready for that funding. What happens after they get the loan? What kind of ongoing support is provided?
For our clients, that one-on-one mentoring and coaching does not stop after they are approved for a loan. It goes through the life of the loan and can even be offered for people who have not ever taken out a loan with us. part of the requirements. For most federal funding, you have whatever your service or program is, plus you have technical assistance that is required. Our technical assistance requirement is that business development education. So not only are we partnering with other organizations, I don't know if you're aware, but through Startup Waco, a coalition has been launched. It's actually called Launch Waco. There are 9 organizations that comprise the small business ecosystem. It's not all of them, but there are 9 of us. And we are working in a concerted effort to be informed about all the resources and services that each organization performs, to have a centralized website where people in the community can go for information and referrals. If we can't help them, we happily refer them to the Kiva program that Startup Waco has, for example. We're also developing relationships with our local banks. I just organized, in partnership with Cadence Bank, a Small Business Week event that told people about options for funding. So Startup Waco spoke on their Kiva program, we spoke on our microloan program, and Cadence Bank spoke on their SBA program, which is unique because their threshold is $250,000. A lot of SBA loans are $500,000 and up. And so that is a great resource that has been brought to the community since I've been at McSIF. Partnering, making sure that we are doing a better job of knowing about all the resources that are there, about creating opportunities. One of the things that I was able to do is to win Waco a spot in New Growth Innovation Network's LEAP Cleveland program. It was June 9th through 13th, so we just got back Friday night. We spent the week in Cleveland, Ohio. The LEAP program, it's Learn, Educate, Activate in Place. And they travel around. They've been to Tulsa, for example. My cohort was in Cleveland. Cleveland is doing a lot of things in the community and economic development space to deal with affordable housing issues, access to capital issues for small businesses, and so forth. One of the projects that we have, and I went with the Central Texas Hispanic Chamber, Mr. Dietrin Thurkill and Jermaine Malcolm, who was representing Skills Gap Advocate, but also speaking on some of the things that he does as a consultant with Startup Waco. We are planning to activate something similar to the community health workers that get out in the community and educate the community on healthcare resources that are available. And I think it's called something like community entrepreneurship workers or something. We're still working on it. But they will be able to get out into the small business community and connect them with all those resources, all those organizations, the banks, the accountants, the marketing people who can help them maintain and grow their businesses. And I'm pretty excited about doing the work to get that off the ground.
So I had an opportunity to chat with Jermaine briefly about that. He was inspired.
Yes, we all were.
So good things going on in Cleveland.
Very good.
Good things going on in Waco and can be elevated a little bit. In Cleveland, they had a lot of similarities. They had organizations that were there, as well as college and universities that are coming together, very similar to what's going on in Waco with TSTC, MCC, and Baylor. So I'll just remind people that we are at the Startup Waco building here in downtown Waco on Austin. Just a wonderful facility, lots of opportunities here. But we're speaking to the executive director for the McLennan Community Investment Fund, Chris Houston Esquire. I just want to put that on there because I will say you have an impressive educational background.
Thank you.
Harvard doctorate in law. Let's get your background. Where did you grow up? How did you end up in Waco? And how did you end up here in 2020 with the
I grew up in Houston, Texas. So I'm a native Houstonian. I attended a historically black college and university, Hampton University, majored in finance, and then went on to Harvard for law school. I was a law professor for a long time, designing and directing legal research and writing programs and academic support and bar preparation programs at 3 law schools. One thing I'm very proud about is that I was brought on as part of the administrative team that won or earned accreditation for Florida A&M University's College of Law. It was a heavy lift, and we did it. I came to Waco to live in December of 2019 because helping my mom raise my niece. She's my mom's great granddaughter, and it was just time. They were both having health challenges, and it was time. My mother is from Waco in a smaller town, so I've been coming to Waco my whole life, and now I'm here. I worked as a compliance officer at a federally qualified health center And I had a community-facing role, and I did a lot of community outreach. And I met Jane Allen, who was the executive director then, but who was also one of the founders of this nonprofit, McLennan Community Investment Fund. And she talked to me about it and continued to bump into her at all sorts of community events. And when she was ready to step down as the executive director, the door just opened for me to step in this role. And it has been such a wonderful learning experience. My family members have always been in the community and economic development space. I remember being drug out to meetings at the City of Houston Housing and Urban Development Department as a little girl, and I'd be in the next room doing my homework with one or two other kids whose parents drug them out because it was a volunteer committee that worked alongside City of Houston employees. It has been imperative. I grew up in the inner city of Houston. I saw my neighborhood decline in the 80s and the 90s. And I understand the need for these community and economic development organizations on a basic, very fundamental level. And so this has been a labor of love.
I was looking at your background. You've been involved in a lot of nonprofit organizations.
I've only worked at nonprofits.
Well, and I was thinking there must have been some inspiration for you. And it sounds like that was your family.
My grandmother was buried about a week ago. She was 95, had three college degrees at 95. She went to college when she was 16 years old. She was awarded, she and a few other Houstonians were given awards by federal, state level, county level, and city level employees. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to someone who's known me my whole life, and she was talking about my grandmother's work in the community, helping to get some of these big name politicians elected, and I was drug out to that. All the things. She was part of the Prairie View A&M Black Nurses Association, was drug out to that. And she taught us community service and civic engagement. She was a precinct judge in Houston. They are the ones who run the polls in their areas for decades. Drug out to that. Helping us set up, helping our breakdown, helping people to get elected to represent our community, providing social services and volunteering through our church and in our community. We were taught to do that. And the historically Black college and university that I went to on academic scholarship, we had to have 150 hours of community service to graduate. And my high school was founded by Baylor College of Medicine and Houston Independent School District. We had to have about 100 hours of community service to graduate. So it has always been top of mind for me to serve others, and God has been blessing me. I believe that if your hand is open so that you can give, it's also open so that the Lord can fill it. And I believe that He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. And so I've only ever worked in the nonprofit space, either in education or healthcare or now community and economic development.
And you have a lot of skills in mediation.
Yes. How did you?
Let's talk about mediation.
Oh my goodness.
Let's talk about that.
So I was, speaking of volunteering, I was a volunteer board member for our local Dispute Resolution Center, which is the McLennan County Dispute Resolution Center. And I also was a volunteer mediator there. I've done that in Bexar County, which is San Antonio, and also Harris County, which is Houston. I was never in love with the adversarial nature of the law. I believe that I am best suited to be a peacemaker. If I had had to be in the military, which I'm not cut out for it, but if I had had to be, I would be a sniper. There is no combat. I don't want no bullets flying back and forth. That back and forth is not for me. It's better that I be a peacemaker and help people find alternative means of resolving disputes. As a mediator, you are trained to resolve those conflicts in a manner that allows the relationship to either heal or remain intact. We were never taught that that was a priority in law school. Win, get everything you can get for your client. If you have to leave blood in the wake, fine. But humans are always to be in relationship. If you're dealing with families, if you're dealing with coworkers, the relationship won't go away after the dispute is quote unquote resolved. And so that is peacemaking work that I believe is much more beneficial when conflict arises. I also do arbitrations for FINRA, The same thing, you know, it's a different way of resolving conflict outside the courtroom where both parties have their boxing gloves on. And I think it is important to teach these skills. In San Antonio, I used to be part of the peer mediation program training team, teaching elementary, middle, and high school kids alternative dispute resolution skills so that they could conduct peer mediations and help their peers resolve conflicts. It taught them relationship skills, it taught them communication skills, it taught them healthy conflict management skills, analytical skills, all of these skills that would carry on with them into their households and into their lives as adults.
So service is in your DNA, from your grandmother all the way down into this very day. You just came back from Cleveland, from the LEAP conference. Inspiration that you've been able to bring here. As we close out the show, give me some inspiration for folks as they look out into the future of jobs here, of this community, of what's going on in Central Texas.
So I want to speak a bit on the role that McLennan Community Investment Fund can play in giving hope and in helping people to actualize their dreams of owning their own business or growing a business that may have been in existence for some years but really needs to scale or grow. First and foremost, I neglected to mention, we don't only lend to for-profit entities, we also lend to nonprofits as long as there is some sort of economic development strain to what they do. So job creation satisfies that. If you have an idea that you want to turn into a business enterprise, you can start with us. If we can't help you or get you all that you need, there are other organizations like the Small Business Development Center, Startup Waco, some of our chambers of commerce that will provide assistance, mentorship, training, those kinds of things, so that you can vet that idea, see if it's something that's profitable, and if it is something that's profitable, turn it into a business. If you're already in business and you need to grow or you're struggling, come and see us. We do provide microloans. One of the benefits that we have is that of late, I think we've developed a reputation in our community, and we have relationships with at least one local bank, and we're in discussions about it, so that we can provide what is called a participation loan. That will allow us to reach our $50,000 cap and have that bank kick in more money so that if, let's say, you need $100,000 or $75,000 or $125,000, we might be able to help you if your application is strong enough and you meet the criteria for us and the bank. That will open doors for injection of capital as well as training and know-how so that people can actualize their dreams. Small businesses are the backbone of the American economy. With all of the economic issues that we are seeing in the country, some people will be forced to run a business by necessity. And the bit of hope that I can offer is that with McLennan Community Investment Fund and all of its community partners in the small business ecosystem, we might be able to run alongside and support these small businesses so that they can launch and grow.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.